picking up stuff off the floor.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Praise at Liberty Baptist Church. Good to have you here. Excuse me. Good to have you here this morning. We got a lot of stuff we want to do today. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. So hopefully you'll be in the mindset for that today. Continue to pray for those that we've been talking about that are sick, those that have lost loved ones, those that are traveling. We've got a bunch that are doing that. And then obviously for our nation after the results of the election. So we want to keep that, and we'll be saying more about that as we go on this morning. So do we have any updates, any prayer requests, anything we need to hear from the congregation that we hadn't already talked about? All right. Okay, well, if you are watching and joining us electronically and you've got kids, get them close to the monitor where they can see. We're going to be talking, we're going to be doing the Kids with the King this morning, very first thing. And we're going to be talking about Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. Now, you might say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, there are things we do, I hope, in our lives that help us to remember who Jesus is, what he has done, and to honor and to worship him. As a matter of fact, Scripture talks to us about remembering Jesus. Passage of Scripture we're going to look at from John chapter 13 this morning says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Now as you go on and read that chapter, you'll see that this was the Last Supper, where Jesus celebrated that with his disciples. And then he took a basin and a towel, and he washed his disciples' feet, showing that he, being God, was serving us. What he was about to do was for our good. Scripture talks about that Jesus, for the joy set before him, went to the cross. Now, you might say, what's joyful about going to the cross? Well, there's nothing fun about going to the cross. There's nothing pleasant about going to the cross. That was a sacrificial death that he underwent, not only a death, but a torture as well. But he was willing to do that for us because he loved us. And for the joy, our joy, he was willing to do that. So then we need to remember Jesus. Now you might say, well, how do I do that? Well, we do that in the way we live our lives. If we remember what he has done for us, if we have given ourselves to him, if we've asked him to forgive us of our sins and be our Lord and Savior, and his Spirit takes up residence, then we can remember him, and indeed we should remember him in everything we do, right? How we talk to our friends or our family, how we conduct our lives, the way we do things. We do it all for his glory, and doing that, we remember him. But we can also do specific things to remember him. Now, one of those things is assembling together, like we're doing here this morning, in church corporately together to worship him. Now, can you worship him somewhere else? Sure you can. Can you worship him outside? Can you worship him at home? Yes, you can. But Scripture says we need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So we come together to corporately worship and praise God, and we remember him as we do that. We're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper today. Now you might say, well, what does that mean? That means we specifically set aside a time in a worship service to honor his sacrifice and remember what he has done for us. As a matter of fact, he said in his word that as oftentimes as we do this, we do that to remember him. So let me encourage you, whether you are young or old, whatever age you may be, to remember Jesus, to remember and honor his sacrifice and his love for you and the things he continues to do in your life. Remember him by the way you conduct your life, by the things you say, and by the things you do, and then also by the choices you make, that you choose faith, that you choose love, that you choose to follow him rather than the way of the world. And doing that, now you're going to receive maybe some ridicule, maybe some persecution from the world, and that's okay, because Scripture also says that if we belong to Jesus, then we will suffer with Him and suffer for Him, and that's okay too, because in the end, what matters is what we've done for Jesus, not what the world thinks. Amen? All right. So, are there any other announcements we need to hear? I know some other folks came in. I think the Christmas shoeboxes are supposed to be in today. So if you haven't got yours in yet and you need a little bit more time, let Ashley know, because I think they've already taken some of them out of here. So make sure you take care of that. Okay? Anybody else? Michael?
All right, before we actually sing, since something's been on my heart, I just wanted to mention to you real quickly about the importance of music and worship. It is so important to our souls, to the whole atmosphere of worship. Matter of fact, if you were here a little while ago, you would have experienced firsthand the power of music and worship, because we just had a little spontaneous thing. With that said, when we are singing out again, we are blessed this church does participate. But just really take in mind the importance of these songs. Whether you sing out loud or not, I don't care. You know, most of us do, which is awesome. But really internalize these words, because especially in our times right now, some of these words, apply those to the situations we're going to today, and you will really feel yourself led to be more in a worshipful mood for the rest of this service. With that said, let's stand and sing it all together, whether out loud or in your heart. Who can satisfy my soul like you? Who on earth could comfort me and love me like you?
Just a moment, turn around, wish somebody behind you and around you a good day, and how glad you are to see them here today as well. Join me as we pray today. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come together to celebrate life, and life more abundantly in and through the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, that no matter the events of our culture, no matter the events of government, no matter the events on the world stage, Jesus Christ is still and forever will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And thank you, Father, that you've called us into your service. We have a place in your kingdom. We have a job to do. And Lord, help us to do that. Help us to do it boldly, to speak the truth and to do it in love. Help us to reflect your love, your truth to a dark and a dying world. Lord, the challenges that we will face in the years ahead continue to grow, but yet we know that you are all sufficient for any and everything that we may encounter. So, Father, open our hearts and our minds to your truth. Guide us by your Spirit today. Lord, help us as we leave these four walls to go out into the world. Help us to go in the power of your Spirit and with a commission in our minds. And, Father, to do all that you have called us and are calling us to do. Thank you for those that are here today. We pray for those who cannot be here because of health reasons or whatever else may be a providential hindrance. Father, we pray you would bless them. And then, Father, for those that could be here and choose not to, we pray, Father, that you would work in their lives, that you would bring those that, Lord, back into your house and into your fold. Again, Lord, we don't understand all the events that occur, but we do know that you are in control, and we yield our lives to you. We pray, Father, today that you would be honored and glorified here in this place as we seek to give you all the praise and glory that you alone are due. Work in our hearts and our lives, your will and your way. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Remain standing as we sing. Next song, our brother Larry has a little few instructions, I guess.
Okay, we're going to do the Lord's Supper. This is the first time we've been able to do this since the pandemic, which was March. So we're going to do it a little bit different. We want to make sure we try to keep everybody as safe as possible. So rather than passing out the plates, I'm going to have somebody from each family group, or if you're here by yourself, then obviously you come up. We'll start over here and go around. As we're singing, you can come up here and take one of these for each family member back with you. Now, these Lord's Supper instruments are a little bit different. You'll see that you peel back the top, and the bread is the little wafer is on top, and we'll do that first. And then you have access to the grape juice underneath that as well. So it's all prepackaged together. So, you know, when you come up, when we start singing, we'll start over here, one person from this family, and then on down. Just come up and get one of these and take it back with you. And then we'll do the Lord's Supper at the end, and I'll guide you through that. Okay, any questions? Clear as mud. Okay, thank you.
With that said, let's sing out together. I serve the risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. y'all don't get any because the song's over. y'all take your time and come on up and stay social distance like you've been doing. We will.
Did anybody not get some that needs to? Everybody get some? Okay.
Everybody does
that?
Oh.
Okay.
Good timing.
I was afraid we missed somebody. Okay. Let's go ahead and do the, can we do the God Bless America? Have you got it queued up or did we not queue it up? Let's go ahead and do that and then we'll.
And again, what I spoke earlier, really pay attention to these words right now as you sing it. Internalize this. And God bless America. Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam.
Thank you. You may be seated. And you guys can get your Lord's Supper if you hadn't already done it. Father, open our hearts and our minds to your Spirit's leading today. As we come together to remember Jesus, our Savior and Lord, to remember, Lord God, your sacrifice for us, as we come together to do what you have told us in your word to do, and that as oft as we do it, to remember you. Father, we do that today. We remember your love, we remember your sacrifice, and we remember that you are not finished with us yet. Father, help us to honor and glorify you today as we celebrate together the Lord's Supper. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jan plays, let me encourage you as we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper to not to do this lightly. Jesus said to remember him, to not take the Lord's Supper lightly. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's work." Or the Lord's body. "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." So in the next few moments, let me encourage you to bow your head and close your eyes as Jan plays softly. Let me encourage you to talk to the Lord. If there's anything in your heart or life that He brings to your consciousness that you need to take care of, do it before you partake of the Lord's Supper. Perhaps you need to ask forgiveness. Perhaps you need to affirm your love. Perhaps you need to rededicate your life. Whatever it is you need to do, let me ask you to do that in the next few moments as Jan quietly plays. Father, as we participate now in the Lord's Supper, help us to remember your sacrifice, Lord Jesus, your love for us that moved you to the cross and held you on the cross. Father, we know that the power of Rome, the work of Satan, all the power in the world could not have held you on the cross. The only thing, Lord Jesus, that held you on the cross was your love for each of us. Thank you for that sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is an open communion. So what does that mean? That means if you are a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, you are welcome and encouraged to participate with us today. You don't have to be a member, per se, of this church, as long as you are a baptized believer in Christ. Now, the little plastic section in the very top, if you pull that off, just the plastic part, you'll see there's a small wafer there. Okay? So if you'll take that wafer, Father, as we prepare to receive the wafer symbolic of the body of Jesus Christ, help us to remember the pain, the stripes, the nails, all that you endured, Lord Jesus, because of your love. Thank you for such love. In Jesus' name, amen. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let me also add, those of you that are joining us electronically, I know you don't have the small instruments of the communion here, but you can use a cracker or whatever else you may have at home and some juice, and you can join us in the Lord's Supper as well. Now, the small cup, you can then remove the plastic. Be careful. Move the plastic section there, the foil and plastic. Father God, again, we remember your sacrifice, Lord Jesus, as the blood ran freely down your back, down your forehead, from your arms and from your feet, spilled on the ground that you created, spilled as the great Passover lamb, that we might be cleansed from our sins and have life eternal with you. In Jesus' name, amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Amen. Thank you, Dan. The message today is entitled Unified in Christ. Unified in Christ. I was talking to my daughter Tuesday evening. She lives in Texas, and she was headed home after work. And she told me, she said, "Daddy, I'm going to go home, and we're going to turn on the news and watch the election results." I said, "Well, you're going to be up a long time." And she said, "You think so?" And I said, "Oh, yes, it's going to be a long time." Little did I know how long it was going to be. But I did something I don't think I have ever done in an election before. I went to bed and didn't turn on the TV, didn't even check. Because ultimately, you know what the truth is? Don't matter who's in the White House. Don't matter who's in control of the Congress. Don't matter who sits on the Supreme Court. Because Jesus Christ sits on the throne of the universe, and he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the next 4 years, we're going to talk about it in just a little bit. We are enjoined by Scripture to pray for the leaders, and I'll be doing that, and I hope you will too. But, you know, it may be a difficult 4 years. I'm pretty sure it will be one of the most dangerous 4 years for the unborn children that they've experienced since Roe versus Wade. It may be a challenge, probably will be a very big challenge for the Church of God. during the next 4 years. We don't know what the future holds, is the truth of the matter. Somebody said today that they thought the rapture was imminent, and it is imminent. Now, does that mean tomorrow? I don't know. But I know we need to live like it'd be tomorrow, amen? Because whether the rapture is tomorrow or not, Jesus could call for you tomorrow. So we need to live like every day is the last day, because it very well may be. Scripture talks about our responsibility as Christians. And there could be any number of scriptures that I could go to today. But the Lord laid this one on my heart earlier in the week. It comes from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And all of it will not be on the board, so you may want to open your scripture. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he did what? Humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, above every name, above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue, notice every tongue, should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, do not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Father, open our hearts and our minds to your word. Guide us by your Spirit. Help us to be the light, the salt, the truth that you've called us to be in the midst of a dark and a crooked and a perverse world. Continue to ask that the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts together might be acceptable in your sight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Second scripture I want to look at very quickly is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Now, my mind, as I was considering the results of the election and what that could or might or probably will mean in the future, and we don't know what the future holds, but we can make an educated guess, of course. But I was thinking, okay, what do we need to do now as Christians? How should we respond? What should we be prepared to do? And I could not help but think about situations that Israel faced throughout their history, where they had moved away from the will of God and God led them into captivity or led them into domination by other nations, and what they had to do. We may remember Nehemiah, Ezra, and others, and what they had to do, Daniel, and how they had to do. In each case, God that gave them instructions that they were to continue on being his people wherever they might be. And that they are continue to do this right here, to make supplication, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks for all men, and for the king and all who are in authority. Notice that it says, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. World peace is an elusive idea that is not obtainable by the power of man. Did you hear me? World peace may be a lofty ideal, and I'm not saying we shouldn't work for it, but I'm telling you that world peace is not something that man can achieve. Never has, never will, and does not have the power to do so. Because the heart of man, listen to me now, the heart of man is deceitful, is wicked, and is dark. That is the truth. It is an ugly truth, but it is the truth. The spirit of man, unrestrained by the Spirit of God, is a demon, just about. I don't care whether you are a dope addict on the streets of Skid Row, or if you are someone who sits in the ivory towers of political power, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if the Spirit of God is not controlling your life, if the world is controlling your life, then the picture of the heart of man is desperately wicked, and history has borne that out. Man does not learn, do we? Have we not fought the same kind of wars over and over again? The Great War, World War I, the war to end all wars. How long did the peace last? None. And we were back at it again. World War II, surely this will end all wars. We didn't even get out of World War II before we were still fighting. And we're still fighting today. Two brothers, Cain and Abel. Cain slew Abel at the very beginning, and we're still doing it today. Why do they shoot people in Chicago and in Detroit and in Montgomery? They just found a body on 31, was it Friday or whatever day it was? Because the heart of man is desperately wicked. The halls of government in Washington, D.C. is not going to fix it. No matter who's in the White House, no matter which party controls Congress, Jesus Christ is the only one who can fix it. And if we look to anybody else, anywhere else, we're looking in the wrong place. Okay? So, three things we're going to look at today that we need to understand about this being unified in Christ, what the church needs to look like, what the church needs to be doing during these times. Now, hopefully we've already been doing this, but if not, we need to start doing it. And we need to understand that we can't do this in our own power. This is by the power of the Spirit of God in us as we surrender to Him. We're going to look at that in just a moment. We need to be the salt and light. Now, that means the world's not going to like you. Hello? It didn't like Jesus. Not going to like you either. And that's okay. Now, I understand we want to be liked by everybody. Yes, we do. We don't like controversy, maybe. And that's okay, I understand that. I don't like it either. But Joshua said, you got to pick a side. My dad said, when I was a little kid, he said, he put it this way, you can't straddle the fence. You got to pick one side or the other. I remember one time I tried to straddle a barbed wire fence. It was not a pretty sight. Cut me on the leg. You need to get on one side or the other. Now, I'm not talking about a political contest. I'm talking about a spiritual warfare. I'm talking about spiritual warfare. So the church, as Christians, we need to be men and women that are humble. This passage of Scripture said that Jesus, we need to have the mind of Christ. Well, what was this mind that He had? A mind of humility. What does that mean? Well, it says here, this verse says, let nothing be done through what? Selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Now, what does that mean? That means I don't put myself first. Now, the way of the world is, I'm first. The way of the world is, dog eat dog. And that's probably condescending to dogs. But, you know, the way of the world is, it's all about me. Now, the people steeped in the way of the world will use the word love quite often. But that's not really what they mean. That's not really what they mean. You will find that people of the world will tell you that they are tolerant until you mention a name of Jesus Christ. And then they're not tolerant anymore. Why? Because the darkness hates the light. Evil hates good. Satan hates Jesus. So do not expect the world to be on your side. It will never be on your side. As a matter of fact, if the world's on your side, then you're on the wrong side. Humility means he is greater than me. Humility means I surrender my priorities, my plans, my everything to Jesus. Now, it's easy to say that, especially in this setting. It's easy to say that. But I'm not talking about just on Sunday. I'm talking about every day. All of you. Everything. It's seeing myself in relation to who God is. You see, if you compare yourselves yourself to other people, there's some people that's going to be better than you. Some people are going to be worse. It's not a very good gauge, is it? The only person we need to compare ourselves with is Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but if I'm comparing myself to Jesus Christ, I'm going to be a little bit more humble. Because I don't measure up. I don't measure up. Because we just talked about last week the power of what? Grace. That we're saved by what? Grace. We don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. Jesus Christ died to give it to me. That ought to give us a little bit more humble spirit. Sometimes I think about, now, you know, don't misunderstand me. You know, I didn't grow up poor by any stretch, but we wasn't rich. Dad was the only one working outside the house. Mom was a mother homemaker the whole time. I don't know how they got us some of the things they got us. Because, now you young folks don't understand what I'm about to say, but before Christmas, around Thanksgiving, Michael, we pulled down the Alden's catalog or the Sears catalog, and I'd have one color marker, my brother would have another color, my sister would have another color, and man, we'd go in there marking what we wanted, expecting to get it. And we did most of it. We were very blessed. But let me tell you the truth. I probably only once or twice in all the years as a kid getting presents for Christmas, I can't even tell you most of the things we got. I don't remember. Because the things don't matter. Because the things don't last. But I can tell you for sure the love I received through my 20 years, whatever it was, at home. Without a doubt. I can recount the time spent with both my parents doing different things. And even with my siblings, you know, brothers, we'd be like that sometimes, but I love my brother. Humility is seeing myself in light of who God is and understanding that everything I have, the place I am in, is because of the grace of God. Do you realize it's only because of the grace of God you were born in Alabama? And I do count it a blessing to be born in Alabama. I'm not kidding. I'm serious. Amen. I am forever eternally grateful that I was born, lived, and raised in Alabama. I could have been born in Somalia or Mogadishu or some kind of, and I'm not putting those places down, but your chances of survival are very limited. The chances of knowing Christ in some of those places are very limited. Do not compare yourself to others. Look to God. No matter what's going on, don't look to the news. Don't look to Washington. Don't look to Montgomery for answers. Look to Jesus Christ. Amen. Not because I'm so smart, but because He is God. It means my desire is outward, not self. Not to pull myself up or to exalt myself. As a matter of fact, Scripture says those that exalt themselves will be abased, put down. That God hates a proud heart. And that's sort of the opposite of humility, don't you think? A proud heart. So Joshua said, choose today who you're going to serve. Whether you're going to serve the gods on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but he said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Amen. Washington may tell you, the day may be coming, Washington may tell you that you don't need to serve Christ. It may be coming. And it may come sooner than you think. And you got a choice to make. Who are you going to serve? Serve Christ? Or serve the way of the world? It starts with humility. Lord, I don't have the answers. I don't have the power. I don't know. You do. And I'm going to you. Secondly, obedience. Obedience. You ever had a disobedient child? Don't answer that out loud. What happens if you have a disobedient child? Well, I guess it depends on the parents. We talked before about the sound of a leather belt coming out from belt straps. That occurred in my day and time, and that would usually correct any disobedience pretty quickly. Most of the kids I grew up with were not afraid of being caught by the police doing something. They were afraid of being caught by mom and dad doing something. Obedience. Scripture here says, He being Jesus, humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus is God. Who was He obedient to? He was obedient to the will of the Father. Remember, Scripture says the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. What does that mean? It means in the mind of God, in the plan of God, Jesus was already sacrificed. But He had to be obedient to the will of the Father. Remember, we talked about humility, and even before then, last week talked about grace. All of this is looking outward, not inward. Looking outward, focused on God. And Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Why? Because it's going to be horrible. We can't even imagine how horrible. But then He added, not my will, but your will be done. Oh, amen. Thank you, Jesus, indeed. Obedient to the point of death. Now, are we going to be called to be obedient to the point of death? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. All the way to the point of death. Now, does that mean persecution? It could be. I don't know. But if necessary, it does mean that. Yes. Because remember, it's not what happens here that matters, ultimately, does it? Eternity is forever. Scripture says, do not fear the one who can take your life, but rather fear the one who can take your life and send your soul to hell. There's only one that can do that, and that's God. So obedience means that my desire is to please Jesus because of His love for me and my love for Him. The motivation for obedience in the New Testament is not judgment. It is not fear that a lightning bolt is going to hit me if I don't. The motivation for obedience in the New Testament is love. Jesus said, if you what? Love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, I know you probably don't do it, but you get out on the interstate. What's the posted limit in most places the interstate? How much? Not 80? Not 90? It's how much? 70. And you do 70 all the time. Don't answer that. You do 70 all the time. Folks are looking around, looking back, looking down, looking up. We don't do 70 all the time. Why? Why? Because we think, now I'm going to be honest, we think it don't apply to me right now. I got some reason I need to go 80. Here's a good one. You're going to love this. I need to do 80 to keep up with traffic. How many times have you heard that? Everybody's doing 80. I get run over if I do 70. I got to do 80. But you let a gray and blue SUV show up, and all of a sudden everybody does 70. Now, what is the motivation for doing 70? I don't want a ticket. But everybody's doing 80. Yeah, but I don't be the one who gets the ticket. So the motivation to do 70 is fear of judgment, fearing that blue light. But Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I say. Not because you're afraid of not doing it, but because you love me and want to do it. I was talking to somebody, it's been a couple of years ago now. We were talking about training dogs. And some dogs are like kids, they're hard-headed. They don't want to do. And we were talking about training a certain dog that was a little stubborn and hard-headed. And the lady said, well, you got to understand that really, ultimately, the getting mad and yelling and screaming at the dog is not going to do any good. Said it's actually going to confuse the dog. She said, what you want to do is appeal to that part of the dog that wants to please you. Because she says, really deep down, even though the dog may be strong-willed and hard-headed, that dog wants to please you, and you capitalize on that. And that the dog will come around sooner or later. Well, God's not trying to train us like a puppy dog. But what He wants us to understand is that love is a much greater motivating factor, a motivating force, than fear of judgment. Because let's go back to the little illustration of traffic and speed. There's only so many troopers in the state, and they can only be in so many places. And so if it follows that people only obey the speed limit when the trooper is there, then it's a losing battle. But if people obey the speed limit because they are more concerned about harm they may do to someone else rather than themselves, then it does not require a blue and gray police car to make you drive the speed limit. You will do so because of your care and concern for somebody else. Love is a much greater motivator than fear. But what is required is obedience. Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of God. You hear that? Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of God, but those that do the will of the Father. Now you might say, well, I thought I wasn't saved by works, and you're not saved by works. But a saving faith will lead to fruit, that is, the good works. Because the Spirit of God is going to produce that in your life as you love and surrender yourself to Jesus Christ. Obedience means, and now this is hard, but obedience means I follow even when I don't understand why, or when I seem to be totally by myself. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The election did not go according to my plan. Didn't happen. It did not. Some of them did, but most of the main one didn't. But, you know what the truth of the matter is? Jesus Christ is still on the throne. And He's in control. And He'll use whoever's on the throne. Amen? Follow Him even when you don't understand what is going on. Because what we want to hear at the end of the day is not that you won a political primary or a political race, but that rather you hear Jesus Christ tell you, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of your Lord." Because Washington's not going to save you. The Congress is not going to save you. The Democratic Party's not going to save you. The Republican Party's not going to save you. Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you. Thirdly, the church is called to be the light. It's called to be the light. We were out during that awful wind storm that we had back, what was it, Wednesday, 2 weeks ago now. And, you know, the first call we get is to a motor vehicle accident, a tree down in the power lines at County 1 and 14. So here we go. And from Prattville to about Autaugaville, it's raining and a little bit of wind, but no big deal. You know, we're going lights and siren, everything's good. We hit Autaugaville, and it was like a curtain came back. It was raining sideways. Street signs were doing like that. Tree parts were flying across the road. And we come up on a whole tree down across the road. So get out of the truck. And we're still a pretty good piece away from where we got to go to the motor vehicle accident. Get out of the truck. Now you can't see. It's pitch black dark. Rain's going sideways. And there's a big tree across the road. So we get out. We're trying to assess the situation. Is there a way around the tree? Have we got to cut through the tree? What are we going to be doing? And we're standing there, bracing against the wind. And I see something fall. Part of a tree falls right down there side of the road. So then I turn on my light and I shine to the side of the road, and there's big old huge trees on both sides of us dancing around like crazy. So we decided we need to back out of here. We backed out and waited till the rest of the trees fell down and the wind died down. But what's the point? What am I saying? We didn't know what was going on. It was pitch black dark. It looked bad. It sounded bad. But when we shone the light on it, we knew it was bad. Now, the world is not going to like you. The world's not going to be okay. But you need to shine the light of the truth of God on life. That's why the church is not going to be the favorite of the world. Because we're shining the light of Jesus, the light of the truth of God, on the situation. And the situation don't look good. And man don't want to be told it's not good. Man don't want to be told he's doing wrong, does he? Now, you speak the truth in love, but you speak the truth. And the church is not going to be the darling of the government. The church is not going to be the darling of the way of the world because we shine the light. But friends, you shine the light, okay? You shine the light whether the world likes it or not. What happens if you go into an old building or whatever and you flip on a light? Bugs scatter everywhere because the bugs don't like the light because it exposes them. Well, the world doesn't like the light because it exposes them. Satan doesn't like the light because it exposes them. But we're going to be the light. Amen? We are going to be the light. Liberty Baptist Church is going to preach the truth. Whether the world likes it or not, we'll continue to do it. And you do it too in your own life, in the life of your family, with your kids, classmates, work, wherever it is. You might say, "Well, I'm not a preacher." No, you may not be, but you're still called to be a minister of God, and you speak the truth, whether it's popular or not. Reflect His love and His truth to a darkening, ever darkening world. Don't spend time trying to understand the world. There's been several folks I've talked to, even today, that made the comment, "I didn't even turn on the news. And I don't blame you. Don't even want to look. But I'm going to continue to tell the truth." That's going to get harder and harder to do. I would never thought I would have said that in this nation, but it's going to get harder and harder to do. But continue to do it. Speak the truth. Live the truth. Seek opportunities to be used by God's Spirit. I appreciate so much those of you that do that. The effort with the Operation Christmas Child, the backpacks, which I see are gone. I guess they're on their way. With the burnout, the chaplain's burnout boxes. I talked to Rufus, the fire chaplain, Thursday night. He gave out three over the last couple of weeks. So there seems to be more need for that. And he's excited. Apparently we're the only church that routinely is doing that and are restocking. So he was relating to me the opportunities that he's had to share God's love with folks who were in a bad situation. You know, losing everything that you have in your house to fire is a very difficult time. But it's also what you might call a moment of high influence. People are open to hearing some things they might not otherwise hear because they've just lost everything, and their question is why, and what am I going to do now? And to find out that somebody they don't even know has provided some small comfort for them, they want to know why. What's this for? Because of the love of Jesus Christ. You know, the world doesn't care. But we do, because Jesus cares. And we are going to continue to hold the light as long as Jesus tarries His coming. Amen. Here is your compass point. In our divided, perilous, and dark world, the church should stand starkly against the dark. I saw a TV show the other day, apparently made in Australia. And basically, it was a weekly series in Australia, and it was highlighting a Royal Australian Navy warship. And apparently, you know, the Australian Navy is not as large, obviously, as the U.S. Navy, and most of their focus is coastal protection. So this was a patrol vessel, small by U.S. standards, but a patrol vessel whose main job was fishery protection and that kind of thing. And it's the efforts of them on a weekly basis kind of thing. It's sort of interesting. But one thing I noticed, I'm a little bit of a geek and things stick out to me. And the uniforms that these sailors had on were typical Commonwealth military uniforms, but there was something different about their uniform that I got to noticing. In their pocket, they had a pin pocket on the sleeve of their uniform, and every sailor carried a pin or a marker of some kind, and they carried a Siloam nightstick. You know what I'm talking about? A glow-in-the-dark stick that you snap and it glows in the dark. And they carried that, and I got to thinking, what in the world are they all running around with these light sticks in their little pocket for? But then on one of the episodes, it dawned on me why that is the case. There was somebody in the water, and a sailor, even though he wasn't supposed to do it, jumped overboard to help rescue the person. Well, he jumped overboard, the ship's still going underway, and nobody knew he had jumped overboard to save that person. So what happens? You know, the ship gets down a little piece and realizes so-and-so must have fell overboard. Well, they turn around to go start a search. Well, it's sort of hard to find somebody bobbing in the ocean, but what happens if you have a glow stick that you can pop and you can wave? That fluorescent glow sticks out in the dark. So in the midst of the darkness, light shines like nobody's business. So make sure that you, as the church, because remember, the church is not these four walls. You are the living body of Christ. The church should stand out starkly from the dark. The light should stand out. You be that glow stick in the dark as Jesus' light shines through you. As a refuge and as a lighthouse. A place for people to come from the storms of the world, but also as a beacon to give the truth to the world who is in desperate need of the truth. The trouble is they may not realize it, but they are in great need nonetheless. We are unified together in this church and with other churches as the body of Christ. We're unified by the Spirit of Christ. We answer ultimately to God and to God alone. Now, we need to be praying for our president and other leaders at all levels of government. Absolutely. We need to obey the laws of the land. Absolutely. But any time the law of the land contravenes the Word of God, I'm going to obey the Word of God. Amen. We need to shine that light. So remember, no matter who is in control of government, Jesus Christ is in control of the universe. Father God, thank you that you are in control, that Lord Jesus, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that no matter who sits in the halls of government, you reign on the throne of the universe. Lord, help us to make sure we understand that as much as we can and to live with that truth in our hearts. Help us to be all that you've called us to be. Father, whatever's on our hearts today, whatever you need us to do, if we need to rededicate, if we need to surrender our heart and life, if we need to come to you, Lord, that we've never asked you to forgive us of our sins and to be our Lord and Savior, whatever we need to do today, help us to do that without delay. Thank you for what you have done, Lord Jesus, and for what you're going to do. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar is open. Will you stand? Amen. Thank you for your time, your attendance today. We were supposed to have a business meeting today. I hadn't seen. Did Edith leave anything?
She left it in there on the desk.
Okay. All right. So we will try to do that for a few minutes. We shouldn't have much to do, but if you will stay for that, I appreciate it. The little basket is back here in the back for your offering as you go out. Please don't forget to drop that in the offering. I would say offering plate, offering basket. How about that? Anything we need to hear before we dismiss? That would be good, yes. I would appreciate that. Or unless you want to keep it as a souvenir, whichever. Yeah, that's right. And did you guys, I think that's a good thing to do during this time. Okay.
Once we learn how to.
Yeah, yeah. It takes a little bit of practice because there's two little sections there. Okay, anything else? I'm sorry, Holly? Amen. I'd love to see what the kids put on the sermon notes. Okay, anybody else? New grandparents, everything good? All right, very good. Okay. Okay, thank you. 4:30 for Bible journaling. Okay. What's that? What'd you say? Okay, Michael.
There is a fountain.